I missed you all last week. Thank God for you. Went over there for Brother Tony and preached Super Bowl Sunday, S-O-U-P-E-R, and ate some good soup and stuff after church and had fellowship with them. And we had a good service here. Thank God for you. Appreciate you. And going through these kings in the Bible, this is Ahaz. We're going to be on 2 Chronicles chapter 28. Ties in with 2 Kings chapter 16. And then next week we'll get on Hezekiah. And I might park in Hezekiah for a few weeks because he turned this thing around. And he had three bad generations before him that messed this thing up. So Hezekiah got it turned around. And what we're trying to do is build something here and turn some things around in our area, in our community, and our families, change some generations. So Uzziah was Ahaz's grandfather. And you remember we did a lesson on Uzziah in Sunday school. And Uzziah reigned many years and did good, was a great leader, accomplished a lot of good things. The Bible has a lot of good things to say about Uzziah. But what happened to him at the very end of his life was he tried to go in, he got so full of pride, that he tried to go into the temple and burn incense, and God always kept the king and the priest separate. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, God keeps your priest separate and your king separate. And ironically, when they formed this country, that was one of the things that the old Baptists really stood on during the Revolutionary War when they formed the Constitution was separation of the church and state. They didn't want the government involved in the state. In the government involved in the church at all. They wanted to keep that separate. They wanted to be separated from the government interference at all in the church. And that's how come you got separation of church and state. But he went in and tried to burn the incense on the altar there. The preachers come out and warned him. They said, don't be doing this. He wouldn't listen. He went ahead and done it. So God struck him with leprosy in his forehead. And he got run out of there. Well, his son, you know, his name's Jotham. And Jotham, the Bible don't say one bad word about Jotham, but one thing about Jotham is he really didn't have much leadership because he didn't have much influence on the people, and he wouldn't even go in to the temple at all. He wouldn't even go to church. And so because Daddy got hurt, he seen what happened to Daddy, so he's like, you know, I ain't going to fight against you all, but I really ain't going to go. Y'all go down there and do your thing. So now he got Ahaz, third generation. So because his dad just really didn't have much to do with it, Ahaz is going to be wicked. The third generation is going to be wicked, wicked. He's a wicked, wicked, evil man. And he's going to do a whole lot of bad things, like even kill his own kids. That's pretty bad, ain't it?
Yeah.
That's how wicked and depraved he gets. Can you see in when you're talking about generations of people, can you see if one generation don't hold the line for the next generation, how far this thing can trickle down and how far these families can get messed up? Can you see why our community is the way it is? Why our hollers is the way they are? Only 30% even identify as a Christian, even go to the church. Probably about 8-10% in these mountains are really, truly converted. But we got a lot of religion, but we don't have a lot of Christ. That's the problem. So here we got Ahaz here. We're going to read about him and look at his life. He's a pure apostate. And what's an apostate? That's somebody God's dealt with, and they just harden their heart up, go their own way, and die and go to hell. You say, well, that's awful bad. It is. It's the worst thing that could happen to a person in their life. Well, God's mean. No, God always deals with people. God always gives people opportunity. God always comes to people. But people don't decide when they're going to get saved. People don't decide when they're going to. God decides that, God, and that's all of His mercy and all His grace. So 2 Chronicles 28, the Bible says Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But watch this. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Like David, his father. You see that a lot in these kings. They always say like David, his father. And David done some pretty horrible things. I mean, David was pretty sorry for some of the things he done. It don't get no worse than having a woman's husband killed, taking that woman in, having a baby by her, all that mess that he done. But God dealt with him. He paid the price. He didn't do things over and over and over again in his life. He didn't do that again anymore because he paid the price for that. And he's had a heart after God. He wanted to do right by God. And he only did right with God and for God because his heart stayed tender and sensitive. There's the key. You've got to keep your heart tender and your heart's got to be sensitive towards God. If we feel our hearts getting hard towards God and the things of God, that's when we need to get on the altar somewhere because we're getting in a bad, bad way. For the Bible says, for he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made also molten images for Balaam. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom. When Jesus said they're going to put the bodies, it's going to be like in the gates. This is what he's talking about here, the valley of Hinnom. When they died in those days, you had to have a little money to be put in the caves and a tomb. Most people, when they died, they threw their body over the dung gate where they threw all the dung in that city of Jerusalem, and it burned continually. And you can imagine when he said the worm dieth not, then you can imagine the maggots were all constantly going over there and the smell and the stench. So when Jesus is preaching about hell, that's the image that they got in their mind was that valley of him and here. And burn his children in the fire after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Look at this. He sacrificed also and burned incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. He was an idol worshiper. They had a statue there called Molech, the Bible talks about, which was a bull god. It was a bull that had arms that stuck out like this and it was hollowed out in the back. And here's what this man did. He took his own kids and they would heat that bull up. And they would heat it up and it would glow. And they would come there in the evening time and that bull would glow. It would get red. And they had it fixed to where it made sound. So God gets the steam coming out of that brass. And they would take their babies now and throw it into them. When their arms got hot, they'd take them babies and throw them in them arms. And them babies would sizzle up. Can you imagine how they'd cry? That's what they did to their kids. They threw them in the back of that thing and let them burn up. And I guess the cries would go out and they would fall down. And you say, how can people get that depraved? Well, how they rip a baby out of a woman right now, stick a pair of scissors up its brain, suck its brains out, throw it in the garbage can. I mean, there ain't nothing changed, nothing new under the sun. So that's what he done. That's how bad and wicked he was, thinking he was serving God. And you know who one of his sons was? Garrett talked about last week. Hezekiah is one of his sons, who's going to be a real good king. And we're going to get to him next week. How Hezekiah missed this in his life as he's a baby, yeah. God providentially protected him. And many of you, look at your family now. Look at your family. Many of you, you've got family that they're not one ounce interested in what we're doing here this morning. They could care less. They're not one ounce interested in church. They're not one ounce interested in God or anything else. But somewhere, some way or another in your life, God providentially protected you, helped you, and got you to where you're at. Ain't you ever thought about things like that? Why you? Why not somebody else? We really need to think about these things because Hezekiah is going to escape this, and we'll look at that next week. But here's the thing about Ahaz. The first thing about him being apostate is he abandoned God Almighty's authority whatsoever in his life and did not trust God with anything. Listen, right here is the final authority, dear people. It's God's holy book.
That's right.
And when we start abandoning God's authority in our life, there has to be a final authority on this earth and everything. And that's why God gave us this Bible right here. It's not my opinion or your opinion or anything else. This is what God says. And so he just totally chucked that out. And he's going to live like the judges lived in those days. We're living in America. Everybody just does right, which is in his own eyes. In other words, if I think it's right, I'll do it. And if I think it's okay, I'll do it. And if I agree with that, that's fine. That's the way we're living in America, and you see how we're moving towards real fast about these things. He abandoned Almighty's authority in his life. Didn't trust the Lord, wasn't interested in the Lord. And the Scripture says, trust in the Lord, don't it? Proverbs 3, 5, and 7. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Right there is where we mess up. We'll say, we trust the Lord, but then we'll lean. We'll say, Lord, how's this going to work out? And we'll try to figure out things in our own understanding. But he says, lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Did you hear that? In all thy ways. That means bad ways, too. That means when things ain't just right in your life, acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise. We don't quote this next verse a lot. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Well, he's showing no fear of the Lord whatsoever. And he sure ain't departing from evil. Matter of fact, he's just going to keep getting more and more and more evil. More and more and more worse. Have you seen such wicked depravity going on in our community? Such wicked depravity going on that I was listening to a preacher the other day, a tape of a preacher from the 1950s. And he was going on about the long hair that some of the boys was wearing. And be careful about TVs being put in your house because people started missing some church on some Wednesday nights because of some of them little shows done on the 50s. And I thought, boy, well, if he was around today, I mean, I've got to preach and teach on people that don't know if they're boy or girl or whatever. I mean, it's even entertained about women getting married to each other, men getting married to each other. I mean, that look how much we've gone and just gone. We have to have billboards hung up in our community about not selling your kids into prostitution. I mean, how wicked have we got here? We've got drug things set up all over the place. We have to go out here and clean the creek up and make sure we don't step on needles and everything else. We're living in a wicked, wicked, wicked society. Amen. That's just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Evil. And don't be fooled, dear people, about the sweet little community you live in. It's just as wicked here as it is in New York City. I promise you.
Amen.
Your old cousins and brothers and all that, they're just as wicked as they are everywhere else, and mine are too. That's the society that we're living in. And people are getting worse and worse. That's what we're learning right here with this Ahaz. He's abandoned all God's authority whatsoever. And he's just not, no fear of God, depart from evil. So here's what happens next when you do that. He's going to align himself up with abominations. He's going to engage in idolatry, sacrifice to false gods, and embrace all them pagan practices.
Yep.
That's going on in so-called houses of God. Did you know that? Those things are going on at ceremonies and they're creeping into some of these churches that are big on YouTube and big on that people watch. Man, they got some wicked practices sneaking in on these things. Witchcraft, actually, some of this witchcraft stuff. And so he's going to line himself up with these abominations. Now, 2 Kings 16, same thing, just different story about Hezekiah. 3 and 4 says this, but he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. Yea, and made his son to pass through the fire. Could you imagine doing that? According to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel, and he sacrificed and burned incense in the high places and on the hills and under evergreen tree. The Bible says this in Psalm 106, and they served their idols, verse 36-38. Which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. That's what he lined himself up with, just what everybody else around him was doing. You say, well, people ain't doing nothing like that. Oh, yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they are. When you let the internet and some of this stuff bombard your child's mind and teach them some of this demonism that's going on in this world today, you're sort of sacrificing them up to idols, ain't you?
Yeah.
Giving them over. I mean, it's a shame. Man, I tell you right now, you go around here with these, my wife's been teaching 27 years. I've watched it change, buddy. I mean, Lord, have mercy. I mean, some of these boys that's in this church right here, they bound to stick out like sore thumbs because they're boys. They're young boys. I mean, it's a shame, a disgrace, but their daddies and their mommies are pushing them that way. I seen something the other day on the internet, and I just wanted to reach through that screen and slap this fella. He's sitting there with his 6-year-old boy, and he's saying, crying, this man, supposed to be a man, he ain't no man to him, sitting there with his 6-year-old son, now son, do you want to be a girl or a boy?
Oh my God.
Now what, in front of a so-called doctor, that ought to be everyone of them going to be put in jail and get that child and put it somewhere we're going to be taught
right,
something.
Amen.
That is the society that we're living in.
It is, brother.
A six-year-old child.
Sick.
You have to be 18 to buy a can of dip, 18 to join the military, 21 for they can get drunk, but they can go mutilate their bodies at 6, 7, 8 years old. That's wicked and straight out of hell.
It is.
But that's what they're doing right here. They're throwing them in the fire, burning them up, because everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is doing it. So that's what he's doing, lying himself. And there's a preacher, we miss this. There's a preacher preaching and prophesying at the same time he's doing all this stuff. And he's going to come and talk to him here, and we're going to get to him in a minute. Now watch this. He's going to have some adversities come on him because of his disobedience. He faced wrath from neighboring nations. Guess what's going to happen to him? Because he forsook God's authority, because he lined himself with bad associations, guess what God's going to do? God's going to send people against him. Yeah. Guess what God does to us? He does the same thing to us.
Yeah.
He's going to send people against us. That's what he's doing to our country. You know, this invasion coming in, God's judging us. He's been judging us for years. Look what happened in the 2 Chronicles 28, verses 5 through 8. The Bible says, wherefore the Lord his God delivered him into the hand of the king of the Syrians. God's going to hand him right over to the enemy. And they smote him and carried away a great multitude of the captives and brought them to Damascus. And he was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who smote him with a great slaughter. God turned him over to two different warring factions. For Pekah the son of Ramlah slew in Judah 120,000 in one day, which were all valiant men. He sent 120,000 special forces down there, and God caused all them people to get killed. But when God's against you, it don't matter how many nuclear bombs you got. Because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. Because they forsook God, God sent an invasion upon them. That's what we're seeing in the United States of America. That's what you'll see in your family. That's what you'll see in your personal life. When you forsake God, God sends things into your life. You open the door. You've heard me make this illustration before. Mark chapter 5, the man there had demons in him, didn't he? Jesus cast the demons out of the man, but where did he cast them to? He could have done anything he wanted to do. He's God. Jesus could have put them in hell and put them in chains, but he didn't. What did he do? He put them in the pigs. Of all things, the pigs. Pigs wasn't allowed in that area.
Right.
The Jew didn't touch the pig. But they made big money, Ricky, selling them pigs. Selling them pigs to neighboring countries. The pigs weren't supposed to be there, Garrett, but Jesus put the demons in the pigs, and the pigs decided they wanted to go swimming and all drowned because Jesus done that too with them. And the people in the town got mad, got mad, and told Jesus to get out of town. Because, I mean, you're hurting business, Jesus. And if folks get saved, you'll see your hollers get cleaned up if more folks got saved. There'll be a lot of drug dealers who have to move on down the road, go somewhere where they can get better business. Because business is going to hurt from the drinking crowd and everything else when people truly get converted. But God sent all these enemies against them. The Bible says here, and Zechariah, a mighty man of Ephraim, slew Mesa, the king's son. So there's another one of his sons that got killed. And Asakrim, the governor of the house, and Elkanah, that was the next to the king. And the children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons, and daughters, and took also away much spoil from them and brought the spoil to Samaria. God sent them in there to wipe them out, clean them out, killed a couple of his kids. I mean, suffered a great, great slaughter right there. Why? Because he forsook the authority of God. He lined himself up with bad people. He's done all these wicked abominations, and he knows better. He knows better. But his heart is like an adamant stone, and he's not going to turn. Ahaz invited all this stuff in his life. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:3, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them.
Yeah.
Listen. It's not a funny thing to do or to comprehend, but if you and I forsake God, forsake the Word of God, forsake the light that's been shining down to us, live and play in sin, don't be mad at God when hell comes at your life, because it's going to come at your life. And a lot of times God's going to send it. God's going to send it in there. So God's going to line him up. So what's the purpose in God doing this? What's the purpose in this? What's God always wanted from us? All God wants from us is fellowship.
That's right.
That's all He wants. He wants us to repent and get fellowship. God's not mean. God can do what He wants. God could shut this thing down like that. But God wants fellowship.
Amen.
He's long-suffering with us. So the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 28, verse 16, at that time did King Ahaz send unto the king of Syria to help him. He ain't prayed about nothing. He ain't prayed about nothing. He's yet to say, I'm sorry for anything. He's yet to talk to the preacher. He's got one of the best preachers right there around him. Prophets that wrote one of the books in the Bible's named after. And I'm going to show you who he is in a minute. He ain't going to get no counsel from him. He's going to Assyria to help him. For again, the Edomites had come and smitten Judah and carried away captives. The Philistines also had invaded the cities of the low country and of the south of Judah and had taken Beth-Shemesh and Ajalon and Gadareth and Shokah with the villages thereof and Timnah with the villages thereof. Gizmo also and villages thereof. And they dwelt there, for the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel. For he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. God's bringing them low. Why are we bringing so low in this country right now? Because of our people and our leaders. And our leaders are just a reflection of our church. They are. They really are.
Yeah.
Our leadership in Frankfort, in this county, in this nation, Washington, D.C., it's just a reflection of the church. Because if we had stronger church that preached anything, stood for anything, it would produce better leadership. But it all starts in the house of God.
Amen.
In the pulpit.
Amen.
That's where it started here. For Ahaz, the Bible says, verse 21, for Ahaz took away a portion out of the house of the Lord and out of the house of the king and of the princes and gave it unto the king of Assyria, but he helped him not. He took out golden vessels out of the temple. He cut them up. He took people's money to pay Assyria to help him. And the Bible says he helped him not, because there's no help in the world. The world's not going to help us in anything. And to verse 22, and in the time of his distress did he trespass yet more against the Lord. So, watch this. Things are getting so bad in his life, and instead of running to God, he runs away from God. And gets mean and mean and mean and mean and mean. He's running like, you know how people do, they'll go through a hardship in their life, and so they just get mean and hateful and bitter towards everybody and end up drunks and on pills and on all this old mess. And I have never seen it get better for anybody that does that.
No.
Anybody ever seen anybody get better for them?
No.
You won't, because it never happens. So that's what he's doing right here. Things is going bad, Bubby, in his life, so he's going to run out here and get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Look what happens. For he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus. Now he's down there sacrificing, which smote him. And he said, because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, therefore will I sacrifice to them that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. So he's down there paying homage to their gods, and they ain't helping him one bit, because that's what the devil does. The devil use you up, and when he's done with you, you're done. I've seen people in prison cells. Now listen. I've seen people in prison cells doing life in prison that did so much harm and was so demonically used out here in our world. But behind a prison cell, you think, how could he do anything?
Yeah.
Because the devil's off of him. Man, I don't need him no more. So the devil's off of him, and he's on somebody else out here running around here destroying everything. While in the jail cell, he's chained up there. What's the devil can do with him in there? So they get off of him, and the devil gets on somebody else. That's the way the devil works. He'll do the greatest destruction that he can out of somebody. Once he uses their life up, I don't need you no more. I go get on somebody else now, do some more destruction. And that's what he's doing with this man right here. He ain't praying about nothing. He ain't going to the preacher that's right there with him. He ain't seeking no counsel. He's going all over the place. Because the Bible says in Psalm 107, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. You know what that verse is saying? You can't help them. They just keep on going and keep on going and keep on going. And it don't ever end well for people like that. It never ends well for people like that. Now, faced with all these odds, faced with all this torment coming at him, he sought all this help from all these other people. Look what the Bible says. Verse 16 in 2 Kings 16:5. Here comes Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to rule Jerusalem to war. And they circled him up, besieged Ahaz. Watch this, but could not overcome him. At this time, Reza, king of Syria, recovered Eliath to Syria and drove the Jews from Eliath. So the Syrians came to Eliath and dwelt there unto this day. So Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser. Anybody, Isaac and Chelsea, are you some good baby names right here? Tiglath-Pileser. You read the Bible, buddy. They got some names, don't they? King of Syria. Saying, I am thy servant and thy son. Come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Syria. And out of the hand of the king of Israel, which rise up against me. And Ahaz took the silver and gold that was found in the house of the Lord. And in the treasures of the king's house. And sent it for a present to the king of Assyria. And the king of Syria hearkened unto him. For the king of Syria went up against Damascus. And took it. And carried the people of it captive to Kir. And slew Rezin. He's working out all these deals right here with everybody else. Still, right at the end of this thing, ain't never prayed about nothing. Ain't trying to get things right. And trying to get some help from the world to make him strong. And the Bible says the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. You can put all your locks on your doors all you want. Hire your SEAL Team 6 to sit on your roof. But if God wants to come in there and get you, there ain't a thing to be done about it. And if God don't want nobody to come in there, you can leave your windows wide open and ain't nobody can come at you. We're 10 foot tall and bulletproof as you're in God's will and do what God wants to do in your life. That's right. If you get a horse that's prepared against the day of battle, the safety is of the Lord. And he didn't want nobody around him. He didn't want no accountability in his life. No correction. No accountability. And no counsel to tell them what to do. You know why, when you get saved, why it's important to be in the house of God, church attendance? Because you're accountable. God set this thing up this way. I'm accountable to you, and you're accountable to me, and we're accountable to each other, but we're accountable to God. That's who we're accountable to. And God says this. Well, he don't want this. And he don't want no accountability. Anybody ever know anybody like that? I ain't going to tell me what to do. Yeah, they are, too. Yeah, they are. And so that's where he's at in his life. Ain't nobody going to tell him nothing. Ain't nobody going to tell him what to do. And he just the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 28, and in the time of his distress, he just kept on trespassing more against the Lord. And here's what the Bible says after in 2 Chronicles 28, 22. And in the time of his distress that he trespassed yet more against the Lord. And then in your Bible, it's got a colon there. Then it says, this is that King Ahaz. I read that and that jumped out at me thinking on this stuff. This is that. God's saying, this is, in my mind, he's saying, this is that King Ahaz. Somebody ever tell you, somebody up the road, wait, that's the fella right there. You ever say it about anybody? I know, pray for me, but I'll say, yeah, that's the old bird right there aggravating me. That fella right there. Yeah. Make sure you point him out or point her out. That's the one. That's what God's doing right here. He gets on down this chapter. He says, this is that King Ahaz. Then he goes into again. The Bible says here on down here, they were the ruin of him. He gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in the pieces of the vessels of the house of God and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. And he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem, and in every several city of Judah, he made high places. Where did his granddaddy die at? In a several house, in a several city, didn't he? Yeah. Did his granddaddy go in the house of God? Yeah, and he didn't do right. Did his daddy Jotham go in the house of God? No, he didn't even go in there, but he let them do right. My son, he shuts up the doors, the Bible says here. He shut up the doors. He closed the doors on this thing. How many people do you know, how many churches have been shut doors on in this generation we're living in right now? Or some of them might as well have the doors shut on them. Because it's failed in the granddaddy's generation, didn't do right. Failed their daddy's generation, he didn't fight against it. Now this generation would sit out in the parking lot and just smoke dope all week long, could care less if the doors is open. That's where we're at right now, people. And that's what's happened right here with with Jotham and with Ahaz, and all the way back to, it always started because Uzziah got sideways with God. Can you see how this thing goes from one to the next? Take our little church right here. It wouldn't affect, it would really crush a lot of us in here if this thing got something happened to it this week. We'd still meet on Sunday somewhere, wouldn't we? We'd still gather up. But some people, it wouldn't bother them a bit. They don't.
No.
They're not invested in it. They don't care.
Take
or leave it. Hit and miss it. That's where we're at right here, folks. This is where it all starts at. So what are we trying to do? We're trying to get these little kids up here and this younger generation up here, build something for them, Brother Amen. Glenn, so when we go off the scene someday,
Amen.
My name pick it up.
Yeah, boy.
So the baby that our sister's carrying will have a church to go to if the world's still around. So these little kids can have somewhere to go where somebody's going to preach something to them and stand for something. I don't need happy, clappy, move the pulpit out and some preacher with flip-flops swishing around there on a half. Yeah, I need some man to tell me something, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. Don't you, Goble? Goble ain't going to drive out of Sycamore down there for that. He's going to come for somebody to preach something, the Bible to him.
Amen.
I just had to make sure y'all still awake this morning. Now, you turn your Bible to Isaiah chapter 7. Let me show you something here. We seem to think when we read our Bible that this is all separated. Isaiah's preaching the whole time.
That's right.
This stuff's going on.
Yep.
You say, who's Isaiah? Well, he wrote 66 chapters in a book that pretty much mirrors your Bible that you're in. Now, Isaiah's going to go down there and talk to him. And by the way, God's really, really correcting Ahaz. And if you're a child of God, here's a surefire test if you're saved. Right here. If you go against God, He's going to chastise you. He will correct you, and you ain't going to feel good about it. And you ain't going to. Now, how come, Brother Kevin, I don't have no peace? Well, look at your life. Are you doing something in your life that it's not really pleasing to God, that goes against His Word? And really, you know, because He's already told you that. And you try to blame somebody else or justify your sin, but it don't work that way. He'll just put His finger right on it. He'll show you exactly what it is. And the Bible says correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. And he that hateth reproof shall die. God chastens you, buddy, when you're saved. And he lets you know you ain't right. Now, how's he do that? Well, you moms and dads has got little kids. Why, if they do something, they do something they ain't supposed to do, you'll scold them a little bit. You're not going to run over there because they spilt milk and take your belt off and wear them out for that. That's a little excessive, would you not think? But you'll scold them. You'll scold them. You might take something from them. You'll take something that they like from them. Before you put hands on them, it's got to escalate to a real serious thing before you really put hands on them. Ain't that the way? That's what the Bible teaches. And that's the way God does us. God will scold us. You ever discipline your child? I ain't speaking to you. Go in there, we ain't talking right now. You ever do that to them? We ain't talking right now. Go in there and sit down. God does that to us, too. When you was raising kids, did you say, now you go on up to your room, I'm taking this from you, and when I get ready to give it back to you, we'll work this out. And then they'll go up for about 10 minutes, go, and they'll come back and say, I'm so sorry. They ain't sorry. They just want their thing back, ain't they? Right? And you'll say, well, I ain't ready to give it back to you yet. Then they'll stomp off mad.
Yeah.
That's the way God does this. Well, in other words, you don't give it back to your child until you're satisfied you've accomplished what you need to accomplish, right? That's just common sense. God teaches us that. Well, God does us the same way.
Yeah.
And so we'll go pray and we'll cry and we'll be like, God ain't speaking to me because He ain't ready to get things right with you yet because you're not ready. You're really not sorry. You're sorry because you got caught or you're sorry because this happened to you, but you really ain't repented. You really don't got to repent of heart. Does that make sense to you? That's the way God does us right there.
Yeah.
And then if we do it again, he'll turn it up a notch on us. And you don't want God to take things from you. He'll take your peace from you. He'll take things from you. He'll take your money from you. He'll take your health from you. He'll take things from you. Yeah, he will. He has put people in funeral homes before, and all through the Scripture, He'll take things from you. So Ahaz, he's already had, he's already been scolded. He's had things took from him. He's had battles come in his life. He's broke. He's had to steal out of the church house. And he's still gird, ain't repenting about nothing. And so here was this. Oh, Isaiah the prophet is there. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 7, "And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remlah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it." Now, wait a minute. Take one chapter back, Isaiah 6. What did Isaiah say? "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high lifted up, and his train filled the temple." Well, who was Uzziah? So Isaiah's been preaching a long time.
Yeah.
And what Isaiah is saying is when Uzziah died, it opened my eyes to how serious God is about this thing. That's what Uzziah's saying, or Isaiah's saying, because God struck Uzziah, and when he died, Isaiah said, "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord."
Yeah,
I saw that it ain't about who's sitting on the throne or who's elected the president. It's about him that sits upon the throne. And so he's been preaching through Uzziah. He's been preaching through Jotham. And now he's here at wicked Ahaz. He's been preaching. Now, obviously, Ahaz ain't been listening. Ahaz, he could care less. But just like a lot of people, he could care less. That's just something that annoys them. Now watch this. Let's go down to verse 3. Yeah, verse 3. Isaiah come to him. "Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz." I want you to go meet him, Isaiah. "And Shear Jashubah. There's your good name, Chelsea and Isaac. Shear Jashubah. That's Isaiah's son. Only mentioned one time right here in the Bible. "Thy son at the end of the conduit of the upper pool, in the highway of the fuller's field." Stop right there. This is the only time in the Bible and God tells him to take his boy with him. And he gives us his name, Shear Jashubah. So take your boy. Here's his name. So I got to thinking, why did God do that for? Well, God said, "You got a strong concordance. Look up, see what his name means, dummy." So I looked it up. And here's what his name means. Here's what Shear Jashubah's name means. His name means the Lord will leave a remnant. So Ahaz is scared to death, trying to do everything he can to save what he can. And so God says, "Isaiah, take your boy, whose name means Lord will leave a remnant. Just let him stand there. He's going to be a sermon illustration while you're trying to talk to this man." So he's going to give him an illustration, a living illustration of what God can do right in front of him. Boy, ain't God smart.
Amen.
And you know what God does to us? God will give us illustrations and put it right out to us, buddy, where we can understand it and make it real to us, won't he? Why, Ricky? Because he loves us.
Amen.
And he puts it down there where we can understand it. In other words, here's what I think is what God's saying. You won't hear him, so I'm just going to take a living. I'm going to draw you pictures. My daddy used to say, "Son, I need to draw you pictures, buddy, in case you get this." You ever say it to your kids? Daddy tell me something about five times, Glenn. I said, "I don't get it." "I'm going to draw you pictures and color book to get you to get this." That's what God's doing with this man.
Right.
He said, "You've been preaching to me. I take your boy out there. I'm going to draw him some pictures. Set it before him to see if he'll get this." He ain't going to get this either. And they go down by the pool where the water runs. They had conduits that they had built there to pump that water in. And say unto him, here's what Isaiah says, "Take heed and be quiet. Fear not. Neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria, and of the son of Remlah, because Syria and Ephraim and the son of Remlah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. Within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people." And that's going to happen. "And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remlah's son. If you will not believe, surely surely you shall not be established. God says, this is what I'm going to do. All you need to do is take me at my word and believe what I'm telling you, what I'm telling you is going to come to pass. And I've sent Isaiah, and in case you can't get it from Isaiah, his boy's standing right beside him. That means the Lord's going to leave a remnant. God, at the very end of this man's wicked reign, is trying to instruct him and help him in all this. I'm trying to hurry. Isaiah's rebuking him is what he's doing for his lack of faith, his lack of not living right. He's about all this stuff coming on him, and just like a lot of people are going to do, he's just going to snuff it up. Look what he does here. Moreover, the Lord God spake again unto Ahaz. Here he comes again, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But look what he says. God said, look, buddy, if you still don't get it, ask me a sign. I'm going to do something for you. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. Neither will I tempt the Lord. Now, that don't mean like tempt the Lord like you're thinking. That means I'm not going to try to get the Lord to prove himself to me. I'm not even going to ask him. I'm not even going to pray about this. And he said, hear you now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? And he's going to end up dying, getting carried off. And the Bible's got not one good thing to say about him. And he gets all the way down to the very end, and he ain't going to pray. He is so hard-hearted and so stubborn and so rebellious and stiff-necked that he's got one of the greatest prophets in the Bible standing before him saying, just ask God, buddy. Here's my son, a sermon illustration. But he ain't even going to do that. But you bad shape. You ever see anybody? I have seen people like this. I ain't praying. Nuh-uh. So hard-hearted. Well, what do you do about it, Brother Kevin? God's got to open up their heart. Yeah. God sends them. Right. Ahaz is in hell burning right now. And all these people because of him. And he had all this great opportunity before him. And a lot of people are going to die and the nation's going to be carried away. Because he would not listen. He would not bend his old stiff neck and turn. The Bible says, he that trusteth in his own heart, Proverbs 28:26. Remember this now. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whosoever walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Well, just believe in your heart. What Disney World says, follow your own heart. Everything in books you read, follow your own heart. Better not. Better follow what God says, because your heart is what? Wicked and deceitfully evil. Who can know it? We don't even know it. That's why God gives us his word right here. So he's going to do his own thing, and he's going to die and go on to hell and stand this